Hey guys, I'm Em from the fashion and beauty blog, The Lipstick Fever. When I moved to London over a year ago, I felt like there weren't a ton of obvious resources for women moving abroad or moving cities. My biggest source of strength and growth for my big move was through the inspiring and amazing women from all over the world that I've been meeting. Now, I want to share those conversations with you. We're going to hear from female entrepreneurs, industry experts, and some major female badasses on a global level. Hey, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Big Move Podcast. I am your host, Em, from The Lipstick Fever. So today I am sitting down with Nia. Nia is the founder of holistic CBD wellness brand called Eugeniel, who are on a mission to contribute to changing perceptions around mental health, the war on drugs, and pharmaceutical policy. London born and bred, she studied medical science at Imperial College London and writes about her varied interests in health and wellness, namely the merger of modern science with the ancient wisdom of a long forgotten past at niafaraway.com. She also works in marketing part-time for X and Y Space, a startup company community founded upon the principle that business should be a force for good. Nia, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming over to my humble abode. We are sitting over here in Marylebone. And when you walked in, you noticed a little something on my coffee table book, which I'm actually really excited we have in common, The Daily Stoic.
By Ryan Halliday, yeah.
So it sounds like we're both a fan of his books. I post a lot about this book on my stories. Mm-hmm. I've been reading this since like April. And right, the concept is that you read one page a day mm-hmm. about stoicism, and then he kind of explains like the wisdom. How did you get into it?
So I think someone gave me a copy of that book because I was talking about Derren Brown wrote a book called Happy, and that talks about stoicism and managing sort of on a day-to-day basis, just in terms of what you can control, because we spend so long worrying about everything outside of that. And so it's just getting into that mind frame of what's in front of me right now and what can I actually do about what's in front of me.
Yeah, so, totally. They do. They talk a lot about like staying in the present moment.
Yeah.
I'm very intrigued by it. So I got excited because it's something I feel like that I talk about a lot. And you were like, oh, I read The Daily Stoic. I love it. So we'll kind of just jump right into things, kind of chat on your background. So where did you grow up and like what was life growing up for you?
Yeah, so I grew up here. I'm London born and bred. Actually I was raised by my grandparents for about 3 years of my life, sort of in between London and Wales, just because my parents were both working. Life growing up for me was, I was quite an introverted child, I think. So it was a lot of, I loved drawing, building websites, I wrote poetry. I was definitely very much a like creative child, I think. Well, every child's creative.
But yeah.
Yeah, it was lots of time to myself and like expressing that.
Okay, I love that. Okay, so then, and whereabouts in London are you based now?
Yep, so I'm based in Chelsea. I've been around West London for a while. But I grew up in Highgate.
So. Okay, amazing. And what part, so for the audience, London is so vast. What mm-hmm. part is that, like north, south, east, west?
Yep, so Highgate is north.
Okay, yep. Cool. I actually haven't spent that much time there at all.
Yeah, I think you'd like it. It's got really nice parks. It feels like London, but not London, like slightly more villagey.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I love nice. That. Sounds up my alley. So getting into your career background, Eugeniel, first and foremost, I guess, can you talk a little bit just like about your career background? I know when you and I originally spoke, you said that you studied medicine and that you come from a family of doctors, right?
Yeah.
Okay, if you want to kind of share more on that.
Yeah, so all of my dad's side of the family are doctors. So all my aunties, uncles, you know, psychiatrists, GPs, all that kind of thing. So when I was looking at university, and because I'm the oldest child of the family, I didn't really know what I wanted to do, but I think there was just an unspoken assumption that it had to be medicine. And although I was never told that's what you've got to go and do, that pressure was definitely there. And it was every time you bring up something like philosophy or psychology, it's what are you going to do with that? No, you can't do that. So I enrolled for medical school, but I always said to everyone, I'm going to get the degree and then I'm going to reevaluate afterwards.
Okay.
So already probably didn't have the right intentions going in, because I think medicine especially is a very difficult degree to do unless it's your life and it's your calling and you know that's what you want. So after my BSc, I was totally burnt out. I really should have taken a break, but I didn't. I kind of pushed myself to go on. And that's when I really hit a wall and it got to the point where I was too ill to sit my finals. So that's when I took a year out to really sort of focus on, yeah, just like recovering and figuring things out and what I want to do. And that's how I became interested in wellness and more holistic approaches to health. Because I was shocked that, you know, I'd been in this world and it had caused so much stress and like harm in a way. And there had been very little in the way of help. So it was interesting to go from one world to another, sort of looking at the crossover.
Totally. And that kind of answers my next question, was like, was that kind of the turning point for you when you realized, you know, I don't think I want to be like kind of a doctor. I want to go in a different direction.
Yeah, because when I got to my finals, you know, and they said, you can't resit them this year, you're going to have to take a year out. I thought, if I come back, it's got to be because I know I want to be a doctor, because there is no point putting myself through that year again.
Totally.
And sitting my finals just to get the title or just to make people happy. Or, you know, any of that sort of facade, it's got to be because that's what I want to do as a career. And I just, in that year, tried so many other things that I knew that that wasn't really where my calling lies.
Totally. So you mentioned burnout. Can you kind of describe a little bit more like what that time period was like for you mentally?
Oh, God. Just thinking about it just fills me with dread. But, you know, it was like physical symptoms. So you can't eat, you can't sleep, you can't function properly. Every time I walked into a hospital, I was shaking, I was sweating, just sort of like those physical symptoms of anxiety. And then the things that you can't see. So behind the scenes, just the thoughts going around your head, the rumination, like my head was a broken record. And when it gets that bad, I think you can lose insight into it. So you forget, oh, this is a process that's happening to me. And it just becomes your reality. And it was only when I managed to take a step back and remove myself from it a bit that I was like, okay, I wasn't well, and that's
sure.
Not really me.
Okay, so correct me if I'm wrong. It sounds like every fiber inside you was kind of physically and mentally kind of saying, like, this isn't for you. Yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, so I've kept a diary since I was 12, and that's exactly what my diary entries from that time say, is that it felt like a subconscious block that just wasn't letting me move forward. And I think I never appreciated just how hard it is to fight with yourself.
Sure.
So it was really tough.
Okay. So it sounds like that journey was really what got you into exploring like other modes of medicine, alternative medicine and that kind of thing.
Yeah. So after that, I wanted to look into the more holistic world. You know, I was sick of going to the GP and just being put on SSRIs and it not really doing anything and having to come back. So I just thought there's got to be a better way. And changing your environment is a big step that does help, but it's not a cure-all. It doesn't just go away overnight after that. So it was looking at other things like CBT, but also diet, lifestyle, hypnotherapy, Cambo. I've tried so many different things,
sure.
Mostly out of curiosity and because I think everybody's body is different. So your body might respond really well to something that somebody else responds differently to.
Definitely.
So yeah, self-experimentation, I think.
Okay, perfect. And then, so when did you launch Eugeniel and what kind of prompted that?
So I've been working on it for like the last year and a half, but we launched only last summer, so last July. And that was prompted partly by wanting to get into holistic wellness and communicate why I think it's important. And also because there's a professor at Imperial, which is where I went, called David Nutt. And he does a lot of work into the war on drugs and the therapeutic potential of drugs like cannabis and psychedelics. And I went down that rabbit hole and got super interested in all of that. And CBD was sort of starting to come to the forefront and take the stage. And that's what I wanted to start with, was the cannabis plant.
Okay, amazing. And so what is kind of like your brand mission, if you kind of had to sum it up?
Yeah, so in summary, I think CBD itself contributes to a movement that's changing perceptions around plant medicines, integrative health, especially mental health, and drug policy. And Eugenio, as a holistic brand as a whole, is more about preventive lifestyle measures.
Okay, amazing. I love it. So similar to a lot of our listeners in the audience, you are kind of a jack of all trades, I would say. Like, you're an entrepreneur, you're also a content creator and influencer yourself. And then you also work part-time in PR and marketing. Like, how do you juggle all of those roles? Is there like a specific morning routine that you have down, or do you have any like tips to kind of give you structure that maybe you could share with the audience?
Yeah, it's definitely a very millennial portfolio career. And I think I'm really lucky to work at X and Y Space because they're a co-working startup and they're who I do the marketing for. And they're super progressive. So they're all about have flexibility with your schedule, work how you want to, so long as you get the work done. So that really fits in around everything that I'm doing. But I do struggle with the structure and trying to balance everything because you wear so many different hats and sometimes you get a bit confused because
totally.
You forget like which thing you're working on and what ties into what. But it's good that they're all kind of interlinked in a way. But I mainly structure my day, you know, I try to wake up at the same time and sort of work at the same time just to get into a bit of a routine because even though I love variety, I think that is important for keeping your head straight. So just something like a little meditation in the morning, just when I wake up, focusing on the breath because I'm sort of flooded with thoughts as soon as I wake up.
Sure.
And then lunchtime, maybe like journaling because it's easier to do journaling than meditation at lunch, especially if you're somewhere busy. And then in the evening, if I'm not going to a gym class or seeing friends or something, then I'll at home try and do like a few exercises or at least make sure I move once a day.
Yeah, it makes all the difference. Mm. And now, are you a phone first thing in the morning person or like do you try to wait and like put it off for a little while?
Yeah, I mean, I think it would be better if I waited. But you know, when the alarm goes off and you see everything on your screen and you just can't resist the temptation, and I've tried meditating and all you can think about is what are those notifications.
Yeah.
So yeah, I try to commit to at least just 5 or 10 minutes because that's like nothing, but it is difficult.
It's so difficult. I'm so with you. And it's more than anything else, it's like a curiosity. You're like, oh, I see a message from so and so, I wonder what you know. And it's like, yeah, how do we trick our brains to, I hear that you should give yourself at least 30 minutes before like you jump into your day. I feel like I've heard a lot of like entrepreneurs and founders say that, you know, if you can at least do that, then you can like just start your day with a little bit of a more clear mind rather than being, you know, reactive right away.
Yeah. And it's true. It makes such a difference because I went to a meeting before this. It was like a table discussion. And before they started, the guy leading it just did a 10-minute meditation for everyone. And you do just start on a completely different footing where you've just had space to breathe and like arrive, he called it. So
it makes so much of a difference. Mm. So kind of switching gears a little bit into like CBD, mental health, and quote, winter blues. I feel like that's all we talk about, especially across the pond. I feel like it's a huge topic. I know that you mentioned, you know, dealing with a lot of that in medical school. Do you have any tips for fighting that during this time of year where we're in like the dead of winter?
Yeah, I mean, firstly, on a practical level, I think it's important to look at your diet. So things that you need more of in winter, like vitamin D, try and get more of that in your diet. And also try and move more because it is so easy to fall into that sort of sluggish, oh, I don't want to go out because it's cold. So really trying to be disciplined with that. And, you know, things like cold showers, I find great, but obviously you're less inclined to want to do that in winter as well. So it's really just trying to be more disciplined about it. But I went to a talk by the guy who does Thriver. It's like a blood test company, and he was talking about this as well, beating January blues and sort of managing mental stress as a founder. And he said he finds it hard to commit to one thing, so it's just about, if you like variety, just doing a little bit of something different every day, but something that helps you sort of become more present and take time out for yourself.
Okay. So whether that's like meditation or yoga, exercise.
Yeah. Any one of those, as long as you just do like one a day.
Okay.
This was cold showers and Wim Hof.
Okay. I've heard the cold shower thing. Mm-hmm. I really struggle with that. Yeah. especially this time of year when like all you want is literally a hot shower, but my husband does it and he kind of swears by it.
Yeah. I mean, it definitely works for some people. I find it's easier if you have a hot shower first and then you just commit to making it cold afterwards. And I think it is a mindset thing because mm-hmm. those times where you switch it to cold and you've already built it up in your head and you're panicking, it's awful. Whereas when you get into the mindset of, no, I'm going to do this and it's going to be fine.
Yeah.
Then it is. It's totally fine. And it actually feels quite refreshing. So I think that's what it's training you to do. It's like, yeah, change your mindset.
Okay. I got it. So can you give us the breakdown on CBD? Maybe like a quick 101. What is it? What are the benefits? All that mm-hmm. stuff.
Yeah. So CBD comes from the cannabis plant. So you've got the cannabis plant and it can either be hemp or marijuana. Well, those are the two main ones. So with hemp, the ratio of CBD to THC is there's a higher amount of CBD than THC. THC is the component that gets you high. So anything we sell here, it has less than 0.02% because that's the legal limit. So our products don't get you high. But then you've also got the marijuana plant where the CBD level is very low and the ratio of THC is comparatively high. So those are the differences.
Okay. So on the market, there mm-hmm. is a mix of the two, it sounds like.
Well, so in America where marijuana is legal, then you'll find a mix of the two. But here, okay. because it's not legal yet, you'll only find CBD.
Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. Perfect. Actually, I didn't know that.
Yeah. And it's sold here as a health supplement. So the benefit of taking it is we have something called an endocannabinoid system. And this is why the area is so interesting, because that system isn't taught in medical schools, but it's a proven system and it's extensive within the body. So you've got CB1 and CB2 receptors in your heart, your lungs, your brain, everywhere. And we know that this system is affected by things like chronic stress. So we've got a chronic stress epidemic at the moment. It's like the number one killer in the world. And I think that anything we can do to benefit that, whether it's, you know, yoga, CBD, meditation, all of these things are tools in the armament. So CBD is not this magic bullet or this overnight cure, but it's part of that holistic lifestyle of trying to rebalance your systems, the nervous system, the endocannabinoid system, maintain your health in general and live like a preventive lifestyle.
Okay, cool. And then so Eugeniel, you launched with a core group of CBD products. Mm-hmm. What would you say is like your main one? And then also what kind of makes it unique from so many of the other kind of CBD brands and products that are kind of out there?
Yeah, so we've got two topical products which go on your skin, massage oil and a head roller, and then two oral products, the elixir and the vitamin drops. And the difference is the elixir is better for cooking or adding to drinks. The vitamins you just take once or twice a day. In terms of our main product, the most popular one over Christmas was the candle massage oil. But if you don't include sort of seasonally what sells best, it tends to be the vitamin drops are the most stable purchase. And what was the last question?
Oh, I'm sorry. What kind of helps?
Oh, makes it unique.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There's so much on the market. There's, you know, all we hear about is CBD. So yeah, I'm just curious.
Yeah, it is a very crowded space.
It is.
And I think what makes us unique is our angle and our mission statement and the products. So with the products, the first thing to note is that compared to a lot of the CBD I've tried, ours tastes really good. So you don't get that really strong hempy taste.
Okay.
And I think part of that is because we use a sustainable CO2 distillation process, which does make the oil higher quality and it's not from fossil fuels. And then in terms of our mission statement, we donate to drugscience.org. So they're a charity that look into the science of things like cannabis and psychedelics, but free from political or commercial interference, because there are so many political reasons behind why this is still banned when it's helping so many people. Not CBD, but marijuana. And then also just the spiritual aspect I think is quite unique, and I think it's nice that we've incorporated that angle, because self-care is quite a spiritual thing and it's about introspection and that's very much a part of how people use the brand.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess, like, on the note of it being such a crowded space, do you have any like tips or tricks, like, for people that are maybe new to CBD, how to break through the noise and maybe find the right particular CBD brand or product to kind of try for the first time?
Yeah. So the first thing to look for that's really important is you should always look for lab test results. So it's got to be third-party lab tested. Does the oil contain as much CBD as it says it contains? Especially if you go on places like Amazon, there are so many fake products and you're essentially buying cooking oil, and then people are like, why doesn't this work? And because it's so poorly regulated, there's very little being done to stop that. And then the next thing is just, I think, experiment with lots of different brands and see what works for you. You don't have to commit to one to start with. It's good to try as many as possible.
Definitely.
And see what's out there. Yeah,
totally. And kind of just dig into the brand a little bit, do your research, because you're right, like, there, it is such a new, it's a new product. It's a new ingredient to the market. So the regulations are not quite up to par with, say, in comparison, if you're buying a, you know, an eye cream or something like that. It seems like a whole different ball game.
Yeah, it definitely involves a lot of, I think that's why we like to focus on consumer education, because it's really key to do your own research into what you're buying and to know more about the industry.
Definitely. And then where can people find your CBD products?
So ours are on yougeniel.com.
Okay.
Or in stores, there's a vegan cafe called We Are Vegan Everything. We're there. And we're in UFloat, which is a float center in Battersea as well.
Okay, amazing. Have you ever done one of those?
The flotation tanks? Yeah, they're really good.
Okay, can you tell me a little bit about, I'm so curious. I hear about them. I see them on TV and movies, but I've never done one myself.
Oh, you've got to try one.
Okay.
But essentially, they're this sensory deprivation tank. So you go in and you're in a pool of water that's full of Epsom salts, but so many that you float. So it's like anti-gravity. And then you shut the tank and you're completely deprived of all senses, so no sound, sight,
okay,
smell. You're just sort of floating in this water, so no gravity either. And it's like a very intensive meditation, I think.
Okay.
And you definitely feel the effects, because afterwards I always sleep like a baby, and sometimes I struggle to sleep. So if I'm going through one of those phases, that always works.
Okay. Do you get claustrophobic though? Like, can you get out of the tank? That really worries me.
Yeah, that's such a good question, because when I first started using them, I didn't have that issue. And then I went through a really scary experience with this thing called ayahuasca. And after that, when I tried to use the tanks, I couldn't be in the dark because it was just freaking me out. But it is really easy to open the door. You can just push it up and it'll open instantly and the lights come back on. So,
okay, thank God.
But you do feel like you're lost in space. It can be a bit disorientating.
Okay, I may need to give this a try. Mm. So now that when we're, you know, in 2020, everyone's kind of like hitting the refresh button. Maybe they're trying to stick to New Year's resolutions. I know I have not done the best job with this thus far. But do you have any tips or like things that you're doing this winter to kind of set yourself up for success for the rest of the year?
Yeah. So I was speaking about this with X and Y, where I work recently, because they were talking about entrepreneurship and the benefits of setting resolutions. And we kind of came to the conclusion that maybe it's better to set intentions rather than resolutions, because resolutions is very goal orientated and it's like you must lose 15 pounds by February or whatever.
They seem quite final. I actually love that. Intention kind of reframes that for you.
Yeah, intention is like you're doing it on a daily basis and you're reevaluating it every day. So instead of the I'm going to lose X amount by this date, it's more of a every day I'm going to do a little something that makes me a little healthier. Mm-hmm. And I think, yeah, it's much more present and it's much more sustainable.
Okay.
So my intentions are, yeah, to keep focusing on my health, because I think that's so fundamental to the business, is founder health. If you're not all there, the business is not all there. And yeah, just keep going at my own pace, I think, and not to feel pressurized by external influences too much.
Absolutely. The whole comparison thing and all of that.
Yeah.
I love that. Is there anything coming up for you, Geniel, that you'd like to share with the audience before you go?
Yeah, so if you subscribe to the newsletter on the website, we put all our updates on there, and hopefully we'll be bringing out some new products this year. I found these herbal CBD hemp sticks, which are great for smoking. They're tobacco and nicotine free. So if you're trying to wean yourself off, I think they're a great alternative, and you get a very different effect with those. So hopefully we'll look at bringing some of those out this year.
Okay. And that was Cambo, you said?
That was the CBD herb sticks.
Okay, cool. That was one of the questions that I missed. I wanted to ask you about medicinal mushrooms in Cambo.
Yeah.
Can you just share a little bit about that? And are those sort of part of your future plans as well?
So medicinal mushrooms, yeah. I think there's a lot of those coming out already as well, because you've got like, so you've got adaptogens coming out, and then the same companies tend to look into medicinal mushrooms like Lion's Mane. So it'd be nice to expand the business beyond CBD and just be like an alternative herbal natural store.
Sure.
And Cambo is something that you physically do, and it's got to be with a trained professional. So okay. We're not going to do that, but I do like the odd Cambo ceremony as sort of a health reset. It's good for your immune system.
Okay.
And basically it's this... it's basically frog poison.
Okay. So oh my gosh.
So it's this frog in the Amazon, and they scrape the cells off its back. They don't harm the frog in the process. And then you use some incense and create some little superficial marks on your skin, and you put the poison in there, and it sort of flushes out your lymphatic system. You're sick for about 10 minutes. And then afterwards, you get the Cambo afterglow, where you just feel amazing, like you're fitter, stronger, faster. You go to the gym and you beat all your PBs. And yeah, after I did it, I just wasn't sick for ages. So they call it nature's vaccine, and I see it as like a flu jab almost.
Okay. And where can you find something like this?
So I go
accessible to, in London.
Yeah, it's okay. Accessible. I go to this place called Planet Cambo.
Okay.
And they do private ceremonies or group ceremonies, so they can come to your house for a private one. But I think the group one's quite nice. You know, everyone's got a very different purging process.
Okay.
It's the ceremonial aspect, I think, is part of it. So
okay. Amazing. Thank you so much for sharing. Before you go, where can everyone keep up with you, find you and Eugeniel, all that jazz?
Yeah. So the CBD is eugeniel.com, and then the blog is nearfaraway.com.
Amazing. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks everyone for listening. Please don't forget to subscribe, rate and review on iTunes if you've enjoyed this episode, and we'll see you guys on the next one.